Okay, now last time I stopped at the letter what? Noon. So I'm going to pick up something here. Noon is the number what? Number 15. The number 15 letter. 14? Oh, 50. Okay. Okay, Lamed is what? 12. Mem is 14. Noon is 15. Okay. Oh, is it 14? 14. 14. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. Oh, 15 is Samix. Okay, see what happens when you're always thinking stuff like this? Okay, so 14. So what's the significance of number 14? Generations. Okay? And the word David. Okay? The generation... if you read in the book of Matthew, there's 14 generation, there's another 14 generation, and I believe that's 14 generation from David to Messiah, right? Okay, David or David is spelled Dalet, Vav, and another Dalet. What is Dalet here? What is the numerical value? Five? Four?
Four.
Okay, and the Vav?
Six.
And the another Dalet?
Four.
Add that?
14.
14. That's the name of David. 14 generations from David to Mashiach. Okay, so noon. There is an anomaly in the book of Psalms. It's Psalms 145. In the book of Psalms, in that chapter, it's actually an acrostic. Can you see it from there? Can you see this?
Yeah.
Okay, the first verse starts with an Aleph. The second verse starts with a Bet. The third verse starts with a Gimel. And then the fourth, Dalet, Hey, Vav, Zion. Okay, that's the... Seven is what? The numerical value of Zion. Okay, that's an acrostic. Okay, the letter, the verse 8 starts with a Chet. Verse 9 with a Tet. Verse 10 with a Yod. Verse 11 with a Kaf. Verse 12 with a Lamed. Okay, verse 13 with a Mem. Verse 14 with a Nun. Aha! Uh-huh. And here's the controversy. It is a psalmic. Okay, now let's read verse 14. It says, Hashem, or Adonai, supports all the fallen ones and straightens all the bent. Where in the world is noon? Okay, look at ayin. You know, samek, ayin, peit, sadi, kup, resh, shin, tav. Okay, what is the symbol of Christianity? Fish. The fish. We talked about that last time, when we learned about the noon. Okay. Noon is the symbol of Christianity. And it's missing. Church is missing.
It wasn't there.
It's not here. Huh.
Because it was written before Christianity.
Okay. Hashem supports all the fallen ones and straightens all the bent. Okay, the Lord is telling us something about all that are fallen ones. So the noon had fallen? We don't know. Now, there is also another anomaly, and this is in the book of Numbers. And this is chapter 10. I know some of you remember this, especially those who go to the synagogue. When the ark would journey, Moses said, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee from before you. And when it rested, he would say, Recite tranquility, O Hashem, among the myriad thousands of Israel. This is what they say every time they set out with the ark, right? Now, look at this in Hebrew. Vayhi ben Soa Aaron. Vayomer Moshe, Kuma Adonai, Vayaputsu Oyvecha, Veyanutsu meshanecha mipanecha. Ubnucho yomar shuba Adonai ribot al pei Yisrael. Look at this. This is an inverted noon. That is a upside down noon. Okay, now we learned in this passage Hashem supports all the fallen ones and straightens all the bent. Would it be something? It is upside down. It's fallen. And this also, the sages also say that this is they use it as a parenthesis. That this passage is very, very important. When the ark set out, this is what they say. And there are so many things that happen every time they set out. Because they set out every day. Okay, they pull their tents, you know, and then they go to sleep and they wake up in the morning and they set out again. For how many years in the desert?
40 years.
So in those 40 years, there's so many things that happen that's not recorded during their setting up, during their journey. So something special happened. And I do not know what that is.
Can I see that again? The one missing.
Right here. Samek. There's Mem, and there's no noon.
Okay.
Psalm 145. There's 21 verses, but there's 22 alphabet consonants, right? 22 letters, but. Did the Holy Spirit make a mistake, or the Lord is telling us something? The noon is the symbol of Christianity, and it's missing. Who's going to be missing during the tribulation? The believers, the church. So, and the noon is a symbol of the church. I am not teaching you any doctrine, okay? I am not, but something is in this passage. Okay, so that's the noon. I just wanted to give you that. Now we are going to, what letter is next to noon? Samek. So we learned about the Aleph, which is the symbol of the Father. And next to him is the Bet, which is Yeshua. And Gimel is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has a mission going to the Dalet, who is poor and destitute and proud, who's ready to fall. But the Dalet received the message from the Gimel, and now the Holy Spirit resides inside the Dalet's heart. And now this Dalet becomes a new man. That's represented by the Vav, which represents men. And now this new man needs a what? A weapon. And Zion is a weapon, right? Now, this man is doing a journey, actually, starting with the letter Chet. A letter Chet symbolizes what? It's a yoke. Okay, as we walk with Yeshua, we have to be yoked with him. Okay, and we have to be what? Empty. And we need to die to ourselves. That's why the state, the letter Tate, this Vav here is bowing to the Zion. Okay, when we empty ourselves, here comes the Holy Spirit. He's going to fill us. And when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, now we can do what? We can do good things with our palms. Okay, now we move on to Lamed. What is Lamed actually a symbol of? Authority. Okay, remember the name of God, Aleph and Lamed. Aleph is strong. Lamed is a staff. Or authority, strong authority. Now we, as Lamed, is trying to reach up there and want to go up and learn heavenly things. The Mem, actually, which is a symbol of a what? I mean, which is a picture of a what? Water. What does water do? It searches the lowest part of the earth. You know, you pour water, you look at the rivers, it goes down. It doesn't go up. So Mem, Mayim, The characteristic of this letter is humility. It searches the low part. Okay? And then the nun. It is the fallen one. It's the missing one. Okay? And so now, because we have a fallen letter here, let's go to Samek. What is Samek? The letter Samek is a picture of a prop right there. It supports something. What does these do?
Crutches.
They're crutches. They support you when you had a surgery like me. I had surgery 3 years ago. I had total hip replacement. And I use these crutches, and they helped me a lot. Okay, so these are basically Samek crutches. Okay, this is the evolution of the letter Samek. Ooh, it's too big. Okay. See, there's the tree and the... Can you see it?
No.
Oh, boy. Let's see if I can do this. Okay, what about that? A bit. Okay, the proto-Canaanites wrote the Samek, the letter Samek this way, and look at Moses, Samek. The early Hebrew and the Phoenician wrote it this way. King David. The book of Daniel. Here in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And during Jesus' time. And it has the sound of a what? The letter S sound. Just like the scene sound. The letter S. Okay. Now, this is a coin with the Samek letter on it. An old, old coin. Okay, I'm sorry about that. Okay, so let's see what else we have here. Samek means a prop, support, slow twisting. It also means to turn aside, uphold, to lean, to aid, to assist. Now, the word Samek is also used when the priest would lean, would put their hands on top of the animal, the sacrifices. They Samek on the animals before they sacrifice the animals. All right. Can you see this? Okay. This is Samek, Mem, and Kaf. This is Kaf, Sofit, or final Sofit. Okay, this is a verb. Look, it means to lean, lay, rest, or support. Okay? Now, the next one is... Okay, here you go. Support, uphold, sustain. That's the other meaning of the letter Samek. Okay, and I have explained you this earlier, right? That there is a missing nun, and Samek took the place of the letter nun. It says Hashem supports. The word supports here in Hebrew is samach. Okay? Somech, right here. Samech, vav, mem, and kaf sofit. Now, remember when what I told you last week? When you change the pointings, the vowel pointings, in these root letters, they change meanings, okay? Like the word samach. Okay? Samach. Can you see it? Okay, it means, this is actually a full sentence. It means he supported or he leaned or he sustained. let's see, let's use supported. He supported. Okay. Now, when I change the vowel pointings, watch. Okay. What sound or vowel sound does this combination say?
So.
So, okay? And what sound does this letter mem and the ser say?
Me.
Me. So, mech. Okay? So, mech. This is samach. He supported. So, mech now becomes a participle. It means he is supporting. Okay? So, the changing of the vowels affect the meaning of the word. Okay, of the three, of the root letters. Okay? So you see here, somech, supporting, versus here, samach. That means he supported, or he leaned, or he rested. Okay? There you go. Okay, here's some of the samech old forms. And this is the modern one. And this is the 15th letter. And this is, again, the modern samech. Whenever the Jewish people look at samech, they think of the moon. Because it is round and bright up there. And samech is the 15th letter of the alphabet. And it has the numerical value of 60. It's very important that you know that samech has a numerical value of 60. We're going to be talking about that in a little bit. Okay, when they look at the moon, they remember samech. They remember the Lord, that the Lord will support and will always keep Israel. Okay, there's the samech. All right. When there's a Jewish wedding, it's a tradition that the bride would go around, circle around the groom. Here's the groom, he's saying one more. And that's seven times. And the sages also believe that the reason why the ladies or the bride surrounds or circles the groom is to break down the walls in between them. Remember like Joshua in the Battle of Jericho, how many times?
Seven.
Okay. So to break the walls between the husband and the wife. All right. And the word is tesovev. Okay. For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall encompass a man. Go around or encircle the husband. Okay, that's a really cool tradition. Okay, the principle of first mention. The first word, sabab or sobev, hasobev, was mentioned in Genesis. This is talking about the Havilah. Let me see if I have this in English. Here you go. The name of the first river is Pishon, the one that encircles. The word encircles is sobev, to encircle. It's just like encircling, same word that was used when the bride is encircling the husband. Okay? That's the first mention of the word sobev, to circle. Okay, here's samech. Kind of reminds you of your thumbprint. Okay. Samech is also an acrostic. Okay. The Jewish people, the Jewish poets, the Jewish prophets, they love acrostics. Remember Psalm 119? There's 176, what? 170, I think it's 176 verses. Okay. And they were divided into 22 divisions. And the first eight letters, the first eight sentences or verses start with Aleph and then Beit and all the way to Tav. Now, the word Samech has a meaning. The Samech Mem Chav has a hidden meaning. The word Salach means to forgive. Okay? The M stands for Machal, to pardon. The word kafar, kafer or kafar, is to cover. So the word samek has these meanings, to forgive, to pardon, and to atone. That's why its meaning literally is support, okay? To taking care of something or someone. So Samech is a beautiful, beautiful letter. Again, it has a numerical value of 60, and it's the number 15th letter. Now, the Lord said that on the seventh month of Tishri, okay, the 15th day of the month of Tishri, you shall, what? Rejoice, and you shall celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. That's the 15th day of the month of Tishri. Okay, this one we're going to do a little bit of devotional here. This is the priestly Aaronic blessing, Berkat HaKohanim. Kohen, you probably know a lot of Kohens right out there, Dr. Kohen, Attorney Kohen, you know. Kohen means priest. Okay?
Priest.
This is the priestly blessing, Berkat HaKohanim. This is found in number 624 to 26. Okay, and if you count the letters of number 624 to 26, there's how many letters? 60 letters. Okay, remember, Samech has 60 numerical value. The priestly Aaronic blessing has 60 letters. Okay? It says, Yevarekecha Adonai v'yismerecha, Ye'er Adonai panav elecha v'konecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you, and be gracious unto you. And, okay, and lift up his face upon you and give you peace. Okay, so let's talk about this word for word. Okay, let's see. The word barak, or barak is to bless. The root word is berek. I have a berek, knee. I have my berkayim, my knees. Okay, berkayim is plural. The word bless is from the word knee. Okay, so when the Lord said, Yebarekecha Adonai veyismerecha, okay, the Lord bless you and keep you. There is something that the Lord is doing here with his knees. Okay? We don't really know what the word bless is. Is bless doing like this or what? But the root is knees. Remember, if you go to England and you see the Queen, what do? You bend the knee. When we go to the synagogue and when we do the Baku, okay? Baruch Ata Adonai, okay. Adonai Melech Adonai. You know, we always bend our knee when we say Baruch. Baruch Ata Adonai. We always do that. It has something to do with knees when you bless. Okay. Now, let's take a look here. Let's see. The first line, there are how many words? Yevarekecha Adonai v'yismerecha. There's three words here, right? And then the next line, how many words? One, two, three, four, five. Now the last line, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven. You add that, how many words? 15. Samek is what number? 15th letter. And how many letters?
60.
Numerical value of Samek?
60.
What a coincidence, huh? Okay. Now, in the book of Proverbs, it says, look, it is Solomon's carriage escorted by 60 warriors. All of them wearing the sword, all experienced in battle, each with his sword at his side, prepared for the terrors of the night. Okay, what does it has? What's the relation with this passage to Samek and to the priestly blessing? Okay, the Jewish sages, it says, believe that the 60 letters comprising the priestly blessing are what Solomon alluded to when he wrote this. So the 60 warriors are the 60 letters of the priestly blessing ready to fight for you. That's what the scholars think about. That's what they think about the priestly blessing. Now, this is your hand, okay? There's a big bone right here, and there's two bones actually here. You can see in the picture. And there's more bones here and more bones right here. All right? Do you know that there are 30 bones here. So three bones, 1, 2, 3, and then 27 here. And you have two hands. The rabbi, when he blesses, he raises his two hands and bless. 30 plus 30 bones, 60. Coincidence? I don't know. I'm just the vessel to tell you this. Yevarekecha Adonai v'yismerecha. Ye'er Adonai panav elecha bekunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yesem lecha. Shalom. That's what the rabbis do with their two sheen. The letter she, Shaddai, El Shaddai. Okay? Do you remember Leonard Nimoy?
Yes.
What does he say when he does that? Live long and prosper. Do you know that Leonard Nimoy is Jewish?
Yes.
Okay? And he just added that to, you know, to the whatever script. Or
He actually stated that they were trying to figure out how the Vulcans would greet. And he said when he was a child, the priests were doing that,
yes.
And his dad was like, don't look. And so he kind of like popped his head up, and he's like, whoa. He put his head back down, and he was like, we should do that. So the Balkans got that. Yeah,
that's Leonard Nimoy. Okay, here is my lexicon. This is my, I took a picture of my lexicon. You see this? Berech. Yevarechecha. That's the first word of the priestly blessing. Yevarekeka, the Lord bless you. The root word berek is, look, knee. You see it? Knee. Right here. Okay. So let's talk about our knees. Okay. Barak. See, this one is berek. Segol, berek, which means knee. But barak, this now becomes a verb. Becomes kneel or bless. Okay? Kneel or bless. Okay, so now let's take a look here. When the Lord said, Yevarekecha Adonai v'yismerecha, the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. How would the Lord make his face to shine upon you? Okay? Make his face to shine upon you. And then the Lord lift up his countenance. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious. Okay. If we take it literally, it's supposed to be like that, right? The Lord lift up his countenance. This is what I believe, and I agree with the sages. the Lord bend down, kneel, bless, pick you up like a baby, and do this. Lift his face to shine upon you. That's what they know. We don't know this because we do not know the Hebrew of Yabarech Adonai Vishmerecha. We know this and the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make you strong. No, but when we go back and we investigate the root word, you will find out what's the real picture of it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
The Lord lift up, okay? First, he would kneel down and pick you up, right? Mm-hmm. Lift you up. Like this. And this is actually what the fathers do to their babies. It's so natural. Who put that instinct to the fathers?
The Heavenly Father.
Because he does that to his people. Make his face to shine upon you. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so let's go ahead. I'm not going to go to that big stomach. We are going to take a break. And there's cake and cookies here because we have, who led it? Boy here, a birthday boy.
We have another birthday boy.
A birthday man. Okay. All right. Did you like that one?
Yes. That was awesome. Happy birthday. It isn't today. Today's your birthday.
Or whatever it is from TMZ or something like that.
Tracking the time. So we have the Samek who supports, and then we have Ayin, the eye, the big eye. Okay. All right. So the Proto-Canaanite, look at this. There's the iris. And Moses. And King David, in Yeshua's time, it's just like a letter Y, but it's Ayin, okay? And the modern Hebrew, it's a circle. And the Samek actually looked like a circle, but see this? But this is Greek. But this is the Latin. Okay, but this is the modern, right here. Looks like a letter Y.
So the
one
you just did is a teardrop?
This one?
It's supposed to be a circle. I'm confused. kind of confused because that looks like a teardrop form.
Yes.
Where I'm sitting.
Yes.
So it is a teardrop. Okay. It's not a circle.
But this is not. Okay. This is the modern ion. And what I showed you is.
Turned into an O.
Turned into. In Latin. Yes. In our alphabet. Okay. Let's see here. That is actually the. Oh, no. That's too big. That is the letter ion right there. In this coin. Let's see what coin is this? The ancient Hebrew seal. Which says, belonging to Shema, the servant of Jeroboam. Wow.
Jeroboam.
Okay, that is part of the name of Jeroboam.
Isn't that the line of Judah?
Maybe, huh? Okay, so let's see here. Ayin. To look, to see. Sight, insight, appearance, to be seen. Understand. Experience, to know. It also means fountain or well. Yep. To study, to focus, or to consider. That's ayin. And those two eyes there. This one, this is olam hazeh, this world. And the other eye is focused on the olam haba, the world to come. This is perspective. Okay, we need to have that perspective, okay? We have to deal with the present world, but we always look to that world to come, the Olam Haba.
Oh,
you like that?
Yes.
We're like, woo! Okay, so ion is the 16th letter. Oh, it has a numerical value of 70. 70. What's the significance of the number 70?
Perfection.
Mm-hmm. It also talks about a generation, okay, of 70. How many years were they in Babylon?
70.
70 years. How many times you're supposed to forgive?
70 times 7.
That's a lot.
And more than that.
And more. Okay. Here's ayin. Ayin, yod, and the nun. It's a noun. Okay. It means eye. All right. That's from my lexicon. There's the eye. Now, ayin also means spring or well of water. Okay. Let's see again. There's the eye. And it also means a well. What does eye do when the eye is irritated?
Tear.
You see the tear? So the eye is a hole on your body, and it produces water or tear, just like the well. And that's how they named the well ayin. They compared it to their eye that produced water. That's Hebrew for you.
Yeah, your eyes well up.
Yes. Okay. Now, this is the Shema. Shin Mem Ayin. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. I explained it to you before when we dealt with the letter Dalet. Okay. You see, in the Tanakh, in the Old Testament, Hebrew Old Testament, the word Shema has a very big ayin and a very big dalet at the end, okay? Now, the reason is, this is actually a warning to be very careful to write the ayin in the Shema, because if you change the ayin into the letter aleph, the word Shema, that means to hear, or here becomes Shema with the Aleph, that means perhaps. So it changes the whole passage. Perhaps Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. And that's the reason why they made it a big Dalet. That's a warning. Be careful. Because Aleph is also a silent letter. Okay? Like the ayin. We don't want to say, perhaps the Lord is one. No, no. Okay. Let's see what's next here. Now, also, the word, let me go back there, I think. The word, when you put together the ayin and the dalet, here, it's called ed. It means witness. Witness. And witness in pictograph is the eye to the door. Dalet is a picture of the door, right? Ayin is eye. The eye to the door. And it means witness. Who is the door? I am the door of the sheepfold, Jesus said. Okay, so let's see what's next here. Sometimes I don't really know what's next. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 10 to 12, it says, In a desert land he found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his. What is the apple of our eye? Right there. Is that iris?
The pupil.
Yes. And if somebody poke you on the eye, you go blind. It hurts. And you shed tears. Okay. So the Lord is saying that, okay, here, Moses said he shielded him and cared for him. Who is caring for who? Okay, Hashem or Adonai is caring for his people Israel and guarded them or guarded him as the apple of his eye. That's how the Lord loved his people. Okay, it's not going. There you go. Now, in Zechariah 2, 8 to 9, it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory had he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." So beware, people. Beware, enemies. Whoever touches my people touches the pupil of God's eye. Okay, that's the ayin. Now, look at this. This is a nebula. This was taken from that huge telescope. What do you call it, telescope? The Hubble telescope. There you go. This is called the Eye of God Nebula.
Yeah. That's
beautiful. Eye of God Nebula, or God's Eye Nebula. This was taken from that Hubble telescope. Isn't that?
I have it.
Like, oh my gosh, he's like staring at you.
I'll send it to you.
I hope you guys are not taking my picture. Okay. So, what did God say? Here's another picture from the Hubble telescope of God's eye in out there in the space. Here's that little Jewish boy with the Torah. That's Israel. And that's God's pupil. And whoever, that's somebody's finger touching, yeah, touching Israel or touching that little Jewish boy. He's touching the eye of God. Okay? And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Okay? That comes against the people of God. The people of God is what? The apple of his eye. That's why I'm so confident and I just so believe that the safest place ever is going to be in Israel. Why do you think that ISIS hasn't gone to Israel? Because they know something. Those guys, the Arabs, know something about Israel. They know this promise. No weapon against us, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. See all this beautiful prophecy, all these beautiful promises of God? It's beautiful. Zechariah 12:9. There's God's eye, and there's the Jerusalem. Can you see it? All right. There you go. Now, another word that has the letter ayin is ro'eh. This is resh, ayin, and he. Ro'eh means a shepherd. Okay? Mizmor le David Hashem ro'i lo exar. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does the shepherd do? Ay, the sheep. That's why that ayin, the letter ayin, the picture of an eye is right there, smack in the middle of the word ro'eh, which means shepherd. That's our Lord. He is our good shepherd. He is our ro'eh. Okay? So, resh is a picture of a man. Ayin, this letter ayin is a picture of your eye. And hey is behold. Okay? So it means, behold, I chief. So the shepherds are I chief. Okay? They are always watchful. Right there. Okay. The word for tear is dama. Dama. Okay? Dalet, mem, ayin. Now, we know that ayin is a picture of an eye. Now, look, the word, if you divide this word, can you all see this? The letter dalet, the letter mem, and ayin. Okay. We know that this is an eye, right? But this word, dam, is blood. So, the blood of the eye. And this word is tear. It means tear. Okay? Dama means tear, and it is the blood of the eye. Literally, that's the meaning of these three root letters. Okay? Okay, the word et. The letter ayin and the letter tav. The word et means season or time. And look, the two letters are pictures of I and the cross. The word for time or for a season, which is in Hebrew is et, it means seeing the signs of a season. Okay, I'm so sorry. The word time, the word for time or for a season is et. Okay, and here's the example. Seeing the signs of a season is spoken of in Matthew 16:3. But can you not discern the signs of the times? This is the first word used in verse 126. This is in, actually, in the book of Psalms 119. So et, which means season, is I to the cross. Time means I to the cross. Okay, so let's see what else is hiding here. All right. So this one, we learn about Samek, and then Ayin, and then the next letter we're going to talk about is Pei, which is mouth. Do you notice that in the alphabet, the ayin comes first before the letter pei? The I comes before the mouth. So there is a lesson to be learned here. You use your eyes first or your insight before you speak, before you open your mouth. All right. So now we're going to jump to letter pei. And, that's not the letter pei. This is a letter pei. It means mouth. And here's the evolution of the letter pei. That's too big. It literally means mouth. Okay.
And in Yeshua's time, it looks like this. And here is now the modern Hebrew letter Pei. And there's a letter Pei in a piece of a rock. This is an early Aramaic inscription. 9th century B.C. That's the letter Pei. Just like that one here. Okay. It means opening, entrance, or to speak, to open, to command. It also means a word. Okay, let's not go there.
Can you go back one, sorry.
This one?
No, where you had the meaning.
Okay. And you notice that the letter Pei, it has three forms. One with a dot in the middle, one without, and one is the sophit. This one with the dagesh, can you say dagesh?
Dagesh.
That means a dot in the middle of a letter. It means piercer. Okay, in English, dagesh means to pierce. Okay, so something is being pierced here. That's the pei. Without the dot, it is the F sound, like in foxtrot. Okay? With the dot, it is the P sound, as in papa. And then the sophit, or the final pei, is the F sound. Okay? It's always the F sound at the end of the word. Okay. Aleph spelled backwards is phele. It means wonderful. Okay? It's like a mirror image of Aleph. This is Aleph. This is phele. Okay. Now, the word phele, it says here that the word for a miracle or wonder is phele. The word picture tells us that a miracle is also in is so incredible that it stops the mouth. Okay? The la and the aleph here is lo. No. No mouth. Okay? All right, let's see here. That's a letter pei with the mouth looking like thingy there. Okay, so that's the mouth, and it is the 17th letter of the alphabet, and it has the numerical value of 80. What is significant with the number 80? Generation. Mm-hmm. In the book of Psalms, 70 or 80, that's a generation. Okay. Without the dot, without the dagesh, it is the F sound. With the dagesh, it's the P sound. Okay, the letter Kaf, Pei, is actually a letter Kaf with a Yod inside it. Okay? You want to see it again? Kaf with a Yod inside it. So, let's take a look at these two, the pei and the fei. Let's put an eye on that dude and a mouth and an ear. Okay? You see, it's not talking. Okay, let's take a look at this other one here. Oh, there's a nose too. And a chin. Okay, now there's another one. With the mouth. And the pei, the sophit. Okay, this is the final pei. Now, what's all this? Now, remember in Ecclesiastes 3, there is the time to be silent and the time to speak. Okay, that's the lesson we get from the letter pei. Time to be silent and time to speak. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. Ecclesiastes 3:7. All right. So here we have the noon, samek, ayin, pe, and sadi. Now we know that the letter ayin is the eye, and the letter pe is the mouth. Now, we know that ayin comes first, right? And then pe. Let me show you something that's very interesting. In the Book of Lamentations, if you look at it in the Hebrew Tanakh, in the Hebrew Old Testament, you'll find something incredible. There are five chapters, okay? The first chapter of the Book of Lamentations says it has 22 verses, and it is an acrostic. Verse 1 to verse 22, verse 1 starts with the Aleph, second verse, Bet, and all the way to the 22nd verse, it's the top. Okay. However, look at, can you see what's wrong with this? It's Mem, Nun, Samek, Pei, Ayin, Sadi. They switched the Pei and the Ayin. Okay, this is actually Lamentations chapter 2. Okay, again, in chapter 1, okay, it has 22 verses. It's an acrostic, Aleph to Tav. In chapter 2, the same thing, but the letter Pe comes first. Okay, so let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3, it has 66 verses. And look how is it designed. Aleph, 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 Bet, Bet, Bet. 66 times divided by 3? 22. Okay? 22 verses, chapter 1. 22 verses, chapter 2. 66 verses, chapter 3. And they go like this. Aleph, 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 Bet, 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 Gimel, 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 Dalet, Dalet, Dalet. This is Lamentations, and we don't see this in English. Why is this like this? The Holy Spirit always has something to say. But we don't understand that because we're reading the English, right? So, blessed are thou if you can read Hebrew. And you are starting now. So, let's take a look. Pay, pay, pay. Ayin, 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 ayin. Ayin, ayin, ayin. See, again, the pay comes first. Okay. Chapter 4, same thing again, 22 verses, okay? Again, pay comes first, and then ayin. What is wrong with this? You know, if you're doing an acrostic, make it correct. This one is not. Speak before you see. Speak before you see. We're going there. And now, chapter 5. It's all scrambled. It's not acrostic anymore. Okay? All right. So, what does this book, Lamentation, is talking about? Okay. The key is the word lamentation. What is lamentation? Who is doing the lamenting? Jeremiah. When you lament, what do? You complain. You bring everything out of your, you know, soul, your heart. You tell all the problems to whoever you're complaining to. And that's why the pay comes first before ayin. Because he's doing all the talking and complaining and all this. Okay? And this is how the Holy Spirit or the writer of the Lamentation did it. Still, in an artistic way. You know? If you see the scroll, the Torah, you can see how beautifully it is done. It is magnificent. And if you see, if you have, you know, this study like this, if you go to Lamentation, you will see all these beautiful letters like lined up like this. But you need to look further because there is something that the Holy Spirit twist, you know, kind of put in there. Okay, you've been complaining. Let me switch the pay and the iron. All right, so let's see here. What do you see? What letter? A letter pay, right? I see two letters. I see two letters. It is a pay with a bet inside. A bet hidden inside the pay. This is inside the pay. Bet. What is bet? The letter bet? It's a house. And that's what's the symbol or what does it symbolize? The Yeshua.
Yeshua in the house.
Uh-huh. Who tabernacled with us. Mm-hmm. Yes. And he is actually the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Okay, he was there in creation. Okay. So let's take a look. In the Tanakh, the very first sentence, Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim ve'et ha'aretz. The letter bet is a yamangus bet. Okay? It looks like this. This is exactly what you will see in the Torah. The big letter bet. And then regular size of the rest of the letters. Bereshit bara. Okay. It looks like that these words are coming out from this house. Okay? So let's take a look. The word Aleph. The letter Aleph symbolizes who? The Father. And let's do this. Let's divide it. Let's put this together. The Aleph and the L and the Lamed, it, when you put it together, it is L, which is
God.
Okay? This is God, and this is mouth, right? Aleph. Okay, God is the L, and then there's an extra word there, mouth. When God created the world, Yeshua was there. From the mouth of God comes the Torah. Bereshit, with the letter bet right there. That's coming from God's mouth. Bereshit. Bet. From the pay inside the mouth of God. You see that? That's the letter Aleph. Okay. And this is in the book of Psalms. It says, by the word of Hashem, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. By the breath of his mouth. Older host. So that's the letter pay. Okay. This is the letter pay and the letter hey. Now, if I put the letters resh and ayin inside the mouth, okay, so this is pay and hey. When you put that together, it means mouth, right? And in the middle, I put resh and ayin. Guess what happens? Ra means evil. Now, this word, pei, resh, ayin, and hey, means Pharaoh. In the middle of the mouth is evil. Paro, that's how you pronounce Pharaoh in Hebrew. Is spelled with evil in the middle of the mouth. Okay? So I think that's it. There's his mouth. Okay. All right, so this one, we're going to talk about this. But anyway, so that's the letter hey. You have any question? Another aha moment there? Okay, so let's take a look. What else do I have here? We talked about the vowels last week.
Let me show you some of them. What sound, what vowel point is this? What sound? E? A? E. E? Okay, this is the Shaba. We're not going to talk about that yet. Okay, this is his E. Okay, when you see a verb with a dot on top,
oh,
the letter O. Okay, this is the colon verb. When you see a verb with a dot in the stomach, it's like somebody punch you in the gut, you go, ooh. So this is the letter O. And what is this? Ooh, this is the kibbutz. It's also the same sound as this. Same vowel. Okay, ooh and ooh. All right, what about this? If I put a letter in that box, let's say, let me put the letter gimel.
Go.
Okay, if I put a letter lamed.
Lo.
If I put a letter nun.
No.
You guys are good. What vowel is this?
Eh.
What vowel is this?
Ah.
What vowel is this? Eh. What vowel is this? Ah, a very hurried, it's a short ah. Ah, as in alone. Ah. Okay? So we have many kinds of the ah sound and the s sound, couple of o sound. Now, what we're going to do is let's talk about some special letters. These are called the Begad Kefat letters. You see, can you see it very well? Or should I make it a little bit more bigger, a little bigger? Is it big enough? Okay, there are six special letters in the alphabet. This is the letter Beit. When you see the dot inside, it is the B sound. Without the dot, it's the V sound. The Gimel, also, you'll see it has a dot, but it doesn't change the sound. It's still the letter G, okay? As in give, okay? Now, the Dalet, you will see it also with a dot, with a dagesh. And it does not change the sound. It's still the letter D, okay? Now, the kaf, when you see it with the dot, it's the K sound, like in kite. Without the dot, it's the kha, the letter kha. Almost like the khe, okay? This pay, I pronounce it with the p sound because it has a dagesh, that in it. Without the dagesh, it's a f, the f sound. The tav with the dagesh does, and without, they don't change sounds. Okay, so only what? The bet, the kaf, and the pay. Okay, they change sounds. These are called the Begad Kefat letters. The Begad Kefat letters, they, you will see them with the dagesh, with the dot, and the on the first letter of a word. When these letters start a word, you will always see a dagesh. Now, sometimes in the middle of the word they have the dagesh, sometimes none. Okay? So why do we call it Begad Kefat letters? Because it's B, G, D, K, F, T. Begad Kefat. This is just for your memorization. Okay? These are the Begad Kefat. You got it? Begad Kefat. Begad Kefat letters. This is for you to remember the special letters that has a special dot. Okay? Now, you ask me, what about the other letters? Do they take
dagesh or dots? Yes, they do. Okay? Let's see here. Except for the gutturals. The gutturals, there's five of them. There's Aleph, He, Chet, Ayin, and Resh. The first four, the Aleph, He, Chet, and Ayin, never you will see them with a dot. Never. They do not like the dagesh. They hate the dagesh. Now, the resh, it takes, I thought I was talking about the Shabbat. Okay. All of these do not, all the five of these do not take the dot, including the resh. Okay, so that these are the gutturals. When you say these letters, it should be coming from your throat. Okay? The Aleph is silent. You only pronounce it if there is a vowel pointing underneath it. Okay. Hey, coming from the throat. Chet. Now the letter resh is actually not the burrito sound. No. It's actually like the word or. Or is light. Let me write it down. Sorry, Daniel.
Okay.
Your happy birthday in Hebrew is gone. Okay. Aleph. Aleph, and then we have the Vav, and then the column. So this is O, and then we add the R sound, the Resh. So we normally pronounce it Or, but it should be Or. Or.
Or.
There's a R. It stops right there. We don't say Or. Or. Okay, that's the Resh. Okay, so those are special letters. We learned that Begad Kepat, these six letters take the Degesh, and the rest takes the Degesh, except this five. Okay? Except the five gutturals. Okay, so let's see if I have something else here. Now, let me talk about this, these letters. The P, Ma, and the B. We call it the bump. Can you say bump?
Bump.
These are called bilabials. Because when you say B, look at my lips. B, Ma, P. My lips are the only ones moving. M. B, P, or bump. B, Ma, huh. We call this bilabials. Labials. Lips.
Two lips.
Two lips. Bilabials. Okay. Now, we also have the sibilants. Can you say sibilants?
Sibilants.
Sibilants are the letters with the S sound. And there's many of them. Okay. Give me the letters with the S sound. Samek,
Sadi,
Sadi,
Shin,
Sin,
Sin. No, Resh is not. It starts with a. There's one more.
Zion.
Okay, Zion. Okay, so Samek, Sadi, Shin, Sin, Zion. These are called sibilants. I don't know if I think double L, sibilant. So we have the bilabials, B, M, P. We have the sibilants, Samek, Sadi, Sin, Shin, Zion. Okay, we have the gutturals, Aleph, He, Chet, Ayin, and Resh. Okay. So what else? There are sibilants. And there are also dentals.
Dentals.
Dentals. Okay.
I've been dentist. Dental. Okay. Pronounce the letter D. D. Dale, dale. Your tongue is touching your palate. Okay, dale. So dale is a dental. Okay, the nun, n. See, your tongue is touching? Okay, so the oh, sorry. Why am I doing this in English? Okay, dalet is a dental. Nun, okay, n. Okay, the letter tav. Oh, the letter tate, t. The letter tav, ta. Okay, your tongue's still touching your... What do you call it? Palate?
The roof of your mouth.
The roof. Okay. The roof of your ears. Yeah. Mouth. And la. Okay? So that is dental.
Yeah.
All right. So dalet, nun, tate, tav, and lamed are dentals. So we have gutturals. We have bilabials. We have sibilants. And we have dentals. Okay?
These are sounds.
These are sounds. And we just put them together because it's easy to memorize. Dental. And then the bump. The bilabial. Okay. So what else do I have here for you guys? I don't remember.
Question?
Yes, sir.
So the
ma'am,
S sound,
sir.
Which is stomach and like sing. Which are identical sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Why do they have the two different letters?
That was the question of David earlier.
Yeah,
oh. Okay. Remember, each of these letters has its unique sound. But Aleph it's silent. Ayin is silent. Because we don't really know anymore what's the sound of these letters because Hebrew is a dead language. We just salvage the sound of the rest of, you know, the letters. And so we don't know what really is the original sound of Samet. We don't know the original sound of Ayin. Remember I mentioned to you about the word Gaza? The word Gaza starts with the Ayin. Mm-hmm. Gaza. You know where Gaza is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gaza. Okay, it's spelled like this in the Tanakh. Ayin, Zion, and Hey. Aza, Gaza. So, Ayin has its original sound that we do not know anymore because they were not able to salvage it. Now, the word Aleph, okay, in Arabic, okay, in the Arab nations, they call their chief what? Khalif. Khalif. And what do you mean by Aleph in Hebrew? It means governor, strong, leader. Okay? So, but in Arabic, they can still pronounce the Aleph. They have Khalif. That's where we get caliphate, by the way. Okay? It's still there. The word is still there. Aleph. Khalif. Aleph. Khalif. But the Hebrew didn't retain the original sound, so don't really know. Okay, so right there, Gaza. So whenever I read the Tanakh, I don't read it as Gaza. I read it as Aza. Now, remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Gomorrah starts with the Ayin as well. So when I read Gomorrah in my Tanakh, it's Amora. Not Gomorrah, because it starts with the letter I. Okay? So, anyways, we have
so
five. Yes.
The G is, doesn't fit into any of those subcategories, so there's a few stray ones, right? The G sound, Makaza,
uh-huh.
Doesn't fit into any of those, right?
No.
So there's a few stray letters that don't
yes.
fit in any
exactly.
of those.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And, oh, no, the ayin, it belongs to the gutturals. Yeah. But this is the sound of the gimel, which is our begad kefat. Mm-hmm.
So each letter has its has its association. They have their own little clubs, you know. Okay. Any other questions, please? No.
I just want to know Hebrew. Do they have Chinese way different places, some different? Do they have different pronunciation? This is one is the standard, but the others pronounce different.
You know, that's a good question. if you go to Israel, you will see Hebrew speakers with totally different pronunciation. They would say Shabbos instead of Shabbat. Yeah, good Shabbos to you instead of good Shabbat. Okay, remember when they all dispersed into the world, some of them went to, they stayed in Europe, some in Spain, and in Africa. There are Jewish people who are called the Sephardic Jews, the Ashkenazi, the Yemenite. Are you Ashkenazi?
Mm-hmm.
The Yemenite. Most of the Spanish Jews, they are Sephardic. And they have their own pronunciation of their terms.
But I do know there's some Israel people, they always live in Israel. Do they, have the original sign? I just suppose.
I don't know. How old is the Torah?
Is that the equivalent of a dialect or just the region? So how there's a dialect in Spanish sometimes where we switch words, or is it the region from soda to pop to tonic?
Well, the thing is, okay, in 1948, just think about this.
Okay.
When they came back to the land,
they have official sound.
They have what?
Official.
They adopted.
They actually, what's his name? Ben-Gurion. David Ben-Gurion, the very first prime minister of Israel. He said, Yiddish is not going to be their language. National language. English is not going to be their national language. It has to be Hebrew. That's why Hebrew is a dead language that got resurrected. But the thing is, the problem is they came from all over the world, and they have the different, accents, different culture. So there is not really a perfect standard, this is how you're going to have to pronounce that. So, anyway.
All right.
So, you know what, guys? I have a prayer request. Margie, she's not here. Her parents are actually, her dad actually is in Puerto Rico. She asked me to pray for her dad. And I don't know, I haven't asked her if she had found her dad yet. So please remember her in your prayer. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Let's see. Dave, can you lead us in spoken prayer?
Thank you. Lord, we thank you for this gathering tonight. We thank you for the instruction that you have blessed me that you have given us. And we pray that you would help us to retain this information. We thank you for the insights that you have and your character and the knowledge that we gained of you. And we pray that you would bless all of us.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys.